hope you've already picked up your life point outline. So I ask you to get that out, if you will, this morning. And let's get ready to just get into God's Word. We are in this series, as you've been seeing on the screen, about removing the masks that we say that we are people of the Word. And so the whole challenge of this series is that we will be what we say that we are. And that we will consider how we need to maybe remove the mask of what we are purporting to be and become, in fact, what we say that we are, that we become the real us, and we let God do His work in us that He's wanting to do. And so for the last several weeks, we've been talking about doing the Word. That's a whole series. And we've talked about renewing our minds, just, you know, how we think and what goes on between our ears. Because God has taught us, you know, as a man, as a woman thinks in their heart, so are they. And so it's important what we think and what goes on between our ears. And so we've been looking at that and just kind of opening that up. And so we've got that series on tape. I'm sorry, that's really old, stepping back. We've got it on CD. And so if you'd like to get a copy of that, of course, you can do that through the office. We'll have the whole series. It's going to take us really into Easter as well. And so this morning, what I want to do is we get ready to get started about renewing next our marriages, renewing that relationship that is so important in the eyes of the Lord. We're going to be talking about that for the next several weeks. I want to sandwich something in between, and it isn't like an afterthought. This is like absolutely huge because it goes to the point that we're talking about having a better home life, a better marriage, being the man and woman that we say that we are, so we become more. Because if anybody is aware of where we're not being what we say we are, it's us. We know the true story. God is speaking a lot of that to us. And so what I want to talk to you about this morning is about praying and fasting for a leap forward. And one of the things that we do, we're going to start offer you the opportunity to join together with all of us in this church family, and that we will fast for 20 days. It'll start Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, right after Valentine's tomorrow. And so I'm going to talk about that a little bit, so you can find some stuff online at our website if this is new for you. And I'm totally looking forward to you joining us and getting into what we do here on the Hill that I think makes us what we are as a church. So I've got two passages I want us to look at this morning, and they're 1 Chronicles. They're both in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 8 through 11. And God's Word says, "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David. But David heard of it, and he went out against them. Now the Philistines had come and had arrayed in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God and asked, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?'" Now that's a beautiful picture of the relationship that David had with the Lord, that before he would do anything, being in this leadership that God put him in, that he would say, "Father, what do you want me to do? Because my success is going to depend on you." And so if you understand, you realize, like I do, I know that I'm here by the hand and the work of God. And so what is really important to me is that every day, I just know whenever I've got decisions to make, when there are things in front of me, it puts me on my face, first of all, because I want to know, God, what do you want me to do? What will you bless? What will your hand be on? And so that's what God wants you to do in your family life, in your work life, in your relationships. Do I do this? Is this what you want me to do? Will your hand be with me? That all of us will have that desire that as we come in and go out, that the hand of God will be on us. That's why I love so much Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8. About God's hand being with us as we come in and as we go out from henceforth, now and forever. That's what David sought, who wrote that psalm. And so he says, will you give them into my hand? Will you bring me success? And the Lord said, go up and I will give them into your hand. And he went up to Baal Perazim, and David struck them down there. And David said, now listen to what David said about God. He said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a bursting flood. Therefore, the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. So God gave David a breakthrough. God gave David what we're talking about here about, he gave him a leap forward as a king and as a leader on the world scene. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. After this, now this is years later. David is no longer king. There's another king. After this, the Moabites, Ammonites, and with them some of the Menuhites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they're in Hazazon, Tamar, that is, in Gedi. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid, and he set his face, he determined in his heart to seek the Lord. So God's going to teach us how to seek Him. And so he set his face to seek the Lord, and what did he do? He proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. Now I want you to notice here that the purpose of the fast was clearly told to us. And what was the purpose of the fast? It was to seek something. And what it was to seek was to seek help from the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to understand, guys, that this is the purpose for us. That this is the reason why we're doing it. This is the reason why we're focusing on the fast. Number one, and this is not in your notes, but I just want you to understand what's on my heart and what's motivating me in this. That number one, that God would help us to live the calling that He has placed in us. I want you to understand that for the last 49 years of my being here, not long after God planted me here, God made it so evident in my heart that my being here was not about me, it was about Him. And that the only reason you can explain what's taking place here is simply because, first of all, He found in me a willing heart of obedience. God, I just want to be where You want me to be. And then He found that there was a people here on the hill who were ready to do His will. I certainly am not the one that's gotten us to where we are. There was a group of godly men and women who were here when I first came. And they wanted to do God's will. And God brought us together. And we worked, and that's the reason why we're where we are, because we sought the Lord. And so we're doing this fast. I want you to understand that God would help us to live His calling. That's one. But number two, that God would come in and go out with His favor on us. That in everything that we do, that God's hand would be on us. Number three, that God's hand of blessing would be on our marriages. That we would have some blessed marriages. Would you say amen to that? Huh? Amen. On God's blessing on our marriages, on our families, and on the labor of our hands. That whatever we do in Lufkin or Angelina County would prosper. That God's goodness would be on us as we come in and as we go out. Am I connecting with you? Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God's favor. I'm talking about God breaking through. I'm talking about God doing something in your life maybe you haven't seen happen ever or less in a long, long time. And I'm not talking about hocus pocus. I'm not talking about some kind of, you know, charismatic, off the wall, crazy stuff. I'm talking about the hand of God doing what God talks about here in Scripture, and that God's hands would prosper us mightily in the winning of souls. That we would be a soul-winning church. That we would be a church that disciples men, women, and children. And that we would live on mission. That we would be that kind of a church here in Lufkin. And today's message is about a leap forward. It's about a leap forward in your life, my life, in your marriage, my marriage, all of my relationships, a leap forward for you, a breakthrough. Now, what is a breakthrough? This is in your notes. Let me give you a definition. A breakthrough, by definition, is a sudden, dramatic, important advance. And there are all kinds of breakthroughs that we can have. There are many in our church family that need a breakthrough in their marriages. There are people here in our family that need a breakthrough in their careers, that they feel like that they're, you know, they're hung up. They can't move forward. They can't go forward. They need a breakthrough. I mean, they don't realize that God does that when we align ourselves with Him and His plan for us, and that there will be breakthroughs in relationships, relationships that maybe hold us back in whatever we're doing in the world, relationships with people around us. You can, because in each of these areas, you can have setbacks where you get stalled in your marriage. You're not moving forward in your career. You're at a dead end in some relationships or a deadlock. And maybe at this time, you come in this morning and you would say, "Brother John, if I was just honest, if I were just to confess before everybody, my brothers and sisters in the Lord here, and those of you that are listening online, that I know you're there, and I'm so excited to have you listening, and I want you to pay attention because God's got a word for you." That maybe you're saying this morning, "I'm not making progress in my life," and you realize that. You're not going forward. You're maybe at a standstill. You're not making progress in your marriage. It's become ho-hum. The fire has gone out in your relationship. God wants you to enjoy being married to that man, that woman in your life. God wants us to enjoy that. Would you say amen to that? Huh? That was really weak. There you go. It's a little better. That you say, "I'm not making progress in, you know, my marriage, in my life, in my career." And I want to tell you what you need and what God is doing today. What God is saying is you need a breakthrough. And the good news is the Bible says God works in breakthroughs. God does breakthroughs. I remember back in 1980 that we were stuck here on the hill. God was blessing so much and we couldn't move here. We had packed worship. We were up on the hill. Our services were packed and just people just filling in the pews. We had people driving off here because there weren't any parking places. And people were already parking along the road. They parked on both sides of the road from Fuller Springs Drive all the way down to Rice Drive. Parking on both sides of the road. People walking to come in. And then getting here and the worship service was filled. And people who owned the land around us, you know, we'd ask them and they, you know, they'd said that they would never sell. The woman had promised her mother she would never sell the land. And I went in view of a call in Conway, Arkansas, because I was discouraged. And I just thought, you know, I'm bottlenecked. I can't do anything. The church is not going to go anywhere. You know, the whole idea of relocating was just strange to me. I didn't think I could lead in that. And so church asked me to come in view of a call, and I went. And they gave me, for the first time in their 100-year history, a unanimous call. And that's not about me. That is about a test. And I got a unanimous call. And Catherine, we were driving away, and Catherine said, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm going to stay where we are." And I turned it down. I want to tell you why I turned it down. I turned it down because I could not get away from this inevitable tug of God on my heart for this place. And God had promised to me. It's not like I had a vision. It's just I knew there was a promise. And God's promise to me in the midst of all this with Him giving me that unanimous call, well, it's just like I heard the voice of God in my heart and that God said, "If you stay, I'll bless you. If you stay." And it was a risk. But I wanted to see God. I just wanted to see God do a work here. I wanted to see Him do something. I wanted God's hand on me. Does that make sense? That's what I want for you. I want you to be miserable if you don't have God's hand on you. That you would know that you are pleasing to Him. And that He put you here for a reason. And that God created you for a purpose. And it wasn't just about making a living, it was about making a life. So I came home and I got alone in my study. And I walked the church grounds, which didn't take long, we didn't have a lot. And I rehearsed in my heart that I knew that God had a plan for the hill. I just knew it. And I was convinced that God could and that He would bless. And here's the deal. I want you to come to the settled conviction that you dare to believe that God could give you a marriage that you would love. And that's for somebody here. I don't know who that's for, but I just can't get away from that. So that's for somebody either here or watching or in one of the next two services, that God would give you a marriage like you have dreamed of, that He would give you a job that you love, that fulfills your life, and that He would give you relationships with your grown child or with your parents that blesses you, and that God would use you to reach the nations for Him, and that you would have a sense that your life has a divine purpose and a call to it. And that that's what gets you up and gets you going every day. That you are here not just to make a living, but to make a life. And that there is a reason for your existence. I didn't fast because I'd never been taught fasting in my home church nor at seminary. I didn't know anything about that. And I had a distinct impression that I was to give it one more call. And when I did, breakthrough came. Why? Because I would not let go of Him. And because I believed with all my heart that God had a plan. And that's what you've got to hold on to for your marriage, for your job, for whatever it is that you're doing in this world. That God has a plan for you. All I wanted was 10 acres. And they said, nope, you got to take all of it. And I said, well, how much is all of it? And they said 23. And so I picked up that phone and I didn't have anything. And when I put the phone down, Harmony Hill had 23 acres that we're sitting on today. And you realize that was the hand of God who turned a daughter against the wishes of her own mother on her deathbed. And she said, I'll do what I believe God wants me to do. Let me give you an insight to how our Father in heaven works in our lives to move us forward. Look at the insight in your outline. God often uses pain to get your attention. C.S. Lewis made this statement one time. He said, God whispers to us in our pleasure, but He shouts to us in our pain. If you want to hear God, you're going to hear Him so clearly when you're going through trouble and turmoil. And if there's pain in your relationships at work, then God is saying, be listening, because I'm going to use that pain to clean out your ears so that you can hear me clearly. And I don't know what your pain you're in or the level of your desire, but I know this. If you belong to God, if you are His through faith in Christ as your only hope of forgiveness before a holy God, and you know heaven is your future, then you know God has a good plan for you in these days. And your pain is a message from God. And here's what He's saying. God is saying to you, do you think I made you to live for yourself? Do you think the purpose of your life is to do your own thing and not come to me and seek my plans and purposes for your life? You see, the key to moving forward is to seek God's purpose for your life. God's heart is for the nations, those that He has known from before the foundation of the world. And God wants every corner of your life and my life to reflect Him as a testimony to the lost. And God said, I will sovereignly plant you. I will sovereignly bless you. I will sovereignly use you to reach the men and the women that I have known from before the foundation of the world. And I had determined that they would come home. And that God has put you and I here to be a witness for Him. And if you want God's plan for your marriage, if you want God's plan for your life, if you want God's purposes for you to be fulfilled, understand God uses pain to get our attention and to prepare us for a breakthrough. Proverbs 20, verse 30 says, blows that wound cleanse away evil. Strokes make clean the innermost parts. In other words, when I go through a difficult time, that is cleansing the works of the flesh out of my life. That's why the Bible says that you spare the rod, you spoil the child, right? God says use discipline. Said they won't die. Don't worry about it. They act like they're going to die, but they won't. He said use that painful rod. That's the Lord's instruction because that's how He deals with us. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. And here's what's true. Many of us know already what we need to do, but we haven't done it because our misery level hasn't been high enough yet. And many of us already know we need changes in our marriage, our relationships, and our careers. Maybe you're in a period of confusion, not knowing what you're supposed to do next with your life. Your whole life is kind of foggy. You know, you're not really sure about the next step. Maybe you feel there's too much to get done in your life and you're overwhelmed. It's like you're juggling and there's just too much to juggle. Maybe you're under-resourced and you don't have the money you need to do what you need to do with your life. So you need a financial breakthrough. Some of us need a breakthrough with our health. You've struggled with it and it's too big for you. Some of us need a breakthrough in relationships, our marriages, our friendships. You're stuck. You can't move forward with your business. You can't move forward in school, or your kids are headed in the wrong direction. I hope I've shot enough bullets. I've hit everybody at least once. Here's the insight. Our fast for the next 20 days is for a breakthrough. And breakthroughs happen when you seek them. Psalm 77, verse 2. When I was in distress, that's pain, I sought the Lord. In other words, seeking breakthrough. Every night, why? Because I was serious, I stretched out my hands in prayer to Him. You see, that's what brings God's favor on us. That's what gets the blessing of God coming down on our lives. God's favor and blessing has got us to where we are. And I want more. I want more. Not for me. Lord knows I've got enough. But I want more for Him. I want my Father's fame. I want the fame of Christ to spread. And I want Jesus to be loved in this town of cowboys and hunting and fishing and rodeoing. I want Jesus to be loved. Amen? That's what we want. Nothing wrong with any of those things as long as they don't replace God in our lives. And so, number one, how are we going to get there? Number one, up to you. Up to you. And here's the insight. Your participation in fasting, understand this, is never a command. If I'm biblical, I cannot command you to fast. Fasting is never commanded. It is offered. It is a pathway to blessing. But you must choose it. So I don't want you leaving here saying, man, I hate the first of the year. Pastor John puts the screws to me. You know, and I'm like dog's breath. If I don't start fasting, I hate this time. Well, then don't do it. Don't do it. Don't fast. I don't want anybody fasting who doesn't want to do it. It is always optional. It is our choice, but it is tied to success at gaining the help of God. Just understand that. And so the call of Scripture as we begin seeking God for breakthrough in the challenges of our days, here's what I want to challenge. You know, every year I think about, okay, where can I just kind of, up it a little bit? And we did that. Can we do a little bit more? And so here's what I'm going to do. This is just a challenge. This is what I'm going to do personally. I'm not laying it on my wife, Catherine. She doesn't have to do this. This is what I want to do. So I just lay it out in front of you as a step forward, okay? And that step forward would be that we fast an entire day coming Tuesday, the day after Thanksgiving, Valentine's. It's not that I'm wanting the year to be over. I don't know where they came from. So on Tuesday the 15th, that you fast the entire day. Now, it's just a thought, it's an idea, it's a recommendation, it's what I want to do. I just think it lets God know we mean business. We really want His blessing, His help. It also lets us know the depth of our desire for the help of God in our lives. And so if you really got a burden, I think this will be closer to a walk in the park than it's going to be a misery thing for you. Because you know this is a pathway to answer for me. And this is worth it. So in our text, David is chosen as king. And by the leading of God and the will of the people, he's king over all Israel. And no sooner is the crown on his head than the Bible says the enemy of Israel, the Philistines, moved against David. Now listen, maybe that's how you feel. That you feel like you're under attack. And though it doesn't mention it, here's what I want you to understand. David had a fortified place. The enemy was out there, right? It was coming against him. David had a fortified place, a virtually impenetrable fortress, Jerusalem. Huge walls. Jerusalem was a mighty fortress and a fortified place. What is your fortified place in the challenges of life? Look at the question in your outline. When you're in tough times, you don't know which way to turn, feeling like life is against you, where's your fortified place? And this is for a lot of our new people here or maybe listening online. If you're a member of the Hill, this is your fortified place. Huh? Yes. Harmony Hill, your church family on the Hill, this is your fortified place. And the insight, that's what life groups are all about. Life group is a fortified place. It is a people who pray for you, support you, and will be there for you. Can I get an amen on that? That is what life group is all about. That's why you ought to be in a life group. Because you can't do life alone. You're going to need somebody praying for you. And that's what we want life groups to be. It is a teaching place, yes. But it is a place to grow close in relationships and that you're there. Why? Because I cannot be there every time for over 2,000 members. But if you're in a life group, you're in a group of about 8 to 10 to 12 people, you can be in a group of people who love you, who care for you, who pray for you, and when you're sick, they're going to be there. I can't make enough chocolate pies for everybody. You would be blessed if you got one. But I can't do that for everybody anymore. And so you need to be in a life group. Those of you who haven't been here long enough, you're saying, what was that? Well, just talk to a member who's been here longer. And so if you don't have a fortified place, when the enemy comes against you, you're going to get hit hard. 1 Chronicles 14:9. The enemy came up and spread themselves in the valley. They filled the valley seeking to cut off any means of escape for David. So what did David do? Verse 10, David inquired of God and he said, should I go and fight these Philistines? That's what we're going to do for the next 20 days. That's what we're doing. We're going to seek God in prayer for a breakthrough in our lives, in our church, and the challenges of life that are just like overwhelming. And my hope is that as hundreds of church members are praying for others and themselves, that we'll see breakthroughs across our church family. And so number two, we need to manage our focus. Manage the focus. Now, there's the second passage, 2 Chronicles 21:4. A different king has ascended to the throne from David. He's a descendant of David, King Jehoshaphat, a good king. He led his people well. They had done good, and all was well in the kingdom, right? And then it says, after this, after all these good things, and you can count on it when things are good, at some point in the future, there's a valley that's coming. We're going to get tested. And Satan's going to come against God's people without fail. And there are three enemies who came together to destroy Judah and to destroy Jehoshaphat as king. And maybe you feel that way. You can feel like life is against you. You're outnumbered. You're unable to overcome the challenges of life. And as you get older, you feel like your body's not working like it ought to be. And you know, life is just getting more and more difficult. What do you need? You need Him. You need Him. Notice His insight. Notice that while the king deals with fear, he doesn't focus on his worries, but on the Lord. That's what I want you to see. And this is the choice you and I've got to make in these days. Will we focus on our obstacle or our deliverer, on our God? And you can focus on the problems in your marriage. You can focus on the difficulty at work. You can focus on what's happening in your life personally with your body and what's going on with it, that I can't overcome this. This is so difficult. You can focus on that. Or you can focus on Him who is bigger than all that. And then notice what it said. It said the king, Jehoshaphat, did four things. I think I gave this to you in your notes. Number one, he led the people to seek the Lord. He said, we're going to seek after God. And so you, in the midst of this, these 20 days, get with your family. And as a family, your immediate family together, that you come together just to say, as a family, our house, we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to seek Him as a group. Then number two, he proclaimed a fast. And so you men, you women, you let your family know this is what you're going to do. You share it with your wife, you share it with your husband. And remember, this is on everybody's individual part. No wife should feel compelled that they have to do this because their husband says so. Or vice versa, or whatever. We do this because this is what we believe God would have us do. It is the desire of our heart. Does that make sense? Nobody does this out of compulsion. You do it because you want to do that. He proclaimed a fast. Number three, he confessed his need for God's deliverance by prayer. That this is what we're going to be doing. This is a time, you're just not eating. It's not about a diet. This is about we're seeking God, and during this time, we can focus more intensely on what our needs are. That God, we need you stepping up in our lives. And then number four, they waited. We wait on God. Lord, our eyes are toward you. There's nothing we can do. My family needs you, but I can't make you, but I implore you. And I'm crying out to you. And I know you hear me, and you've told me this is a pathway to you. And so what I'm doing is I'm seeking to be obedient to you. Now, number three, and lastly, habits for breakthrough and life change. What are the habits? There's not a litany, but let me give you a couple of them. Number one, don't worry about anything. You just don't worry. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for what? Nothing. Some translations say, don't fret, don't fear, don't have anxiety. Do you realize that one of God's commandments outside the Big Ten is Philippians 4:6, where God says, do not worry. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not steal. God says in the New Testament, thou shalt not worry. That's a command. It is a command. And here's the definition of worry. Worry is focusing on my fear instead of God. And I'll never break the habit of worry till I can refocus my thoughts. And that comes through fasting. Romans 8, verse 6. Thinking that is controlled by my sinful nature leads to death. But thinking controlled by the Spirit leads to life and peace. And that's why we want God to give us wisdom in what to do and how to do it. And that His hand will be on it. And then the second thing is we don't worry. And number two, we pray about everything. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God, for He cares about what happens to you. So whatever it is that you're battling, whatever it is that is a challenge in your life, whatever worry, whatever life challenge, God says, choose your focus. And the Lord says, you can focus on me or you can focus on your problem. And God says, call out to me. For I'm God and there is none like me, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now look at the insight. The way to refocus your thoughts is by prayer and fasting. I find this fascinating about Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3, you remember Babylon was being overrun, right? This is where Daniel had been for several decades. Decades he had been there. Babylon was being overrun by the Medes and the Persians. The Babylonian Empire was vanishing. A new power was rising. Daniel had lived under Babylonian rule for decades of service, and his bosses were being systematically eliminated, right? And so Daniel had, he had no idea what was coming. He had no idea God was going to keep him alive or if he was going to go home to be with the Lord. He didn't know. And so the Bible says he did the only thing he could do. He prayed and he fasted. Daniel 9, verse 3. I turned to the Lord and I pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. You see, that's how we stop worrying. We take our focus off the problem and we look toward the Lord. We look toward him. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. Let me give you the truth about that. Now, here's the truth. There's a time to feast, and there is a time to pray and fast. And we need to understand which is which. Okay? There is a time to feast. Aren't you glad? I love that. But there's also a time to push the plate away and to say, I need to do something different. There's a time to pray and fast. Psalm 88, verse 9, every day, Lord, I will lift my hands to you in prayer, and I will call to you. Now, what I want to do in closing this morning, I want to give you a guide for prayer. Look, if you look at your Life Point outline, what I'm going to do, I've got a picture there of both of your hands, if you'll look at that. And you just kind of this morning, if you kind of hold your hands up in front of you, you know, just kind of look at them. And what I want you to remember in your prayer time, this is something that maybe will be a help to you. All right? What I want you to understand is the left hand, and what I'm going to give you, the left hand when we're praying, and we're going to go look at our fingers, this is the hand that we pray for others. The right hand is what we pray for ourselves. Okay? So if you look, we'll just go through that. Just watch you while I carry you through this. Number on your left hand is your thumb, right? And your thumb is closest to your heart. So that reminds me, like Tuesday morning, whatever, when I'm praying, when I look at my thumb, that reminds me of my family. The ones that are closest to me, my family, my friends. And that reminds me, I start my praying after I praised and exalted the Father and lifted my heart to Him. I pray for my friends and my family, those that are closest to me. This helps you in knowing how to pray. And then you've got your index finger, right? And we use our index finger, right, to point. You know, kind of points the way. And so that reminds me to think about the teachers and the leaders in my life. The people who influence me, those who guide me, the people who guide your children, your family, right? Your third finger, the tallest finger, stands. That's for people who stand up in society, the influencers. Who are the influencers? You pray for people who influence our world around us. The people who influence you. Now, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to pray for the people in Hollywood? Why do you want to pray for the people who are in the movies and are making movies? Why do you want to pray for the president? Why do you want to pray for the vice president? Why do you want to pray for Congress? Because those are the people that influence our nation. That makes sense? We need to pray for God to be in the heart of the men and women who are making all these movies. That they would have a heart desire to do a movie that is really uplifting and is good, right? We need to pray for them, that God would influence their thinking. Now, the fourth finger, and I haven't really thought about this. This is probably the weakest finger we've got. You know, you don't do a lot with this one as far as using for anything. And so this reminds me to pray for the weak that are around me. You know, like you pray for kids, the poor, the elderly who can't take care of themselves, the handicapped. And then the smallest finger is me. It is all right to pray for me. I just don't start out that way. I remember other people. And then go to the right hand. My thumb, closest to the heart. So the first thing I pray for is I pray for my heart. That I'll have a right heart. That I'll look at life the way God wants me to look at it. That God will guard my heart. My index finger, the most important, I pray for priorities and schedule in my life. It's one of the first things I do when I get up in the morning is, God, what is the first thing you want me to do today? What do you want me to do? What is your will for me? So I kind of like you're getting marching orders. The tallest finger that everyone sees when they're around me, how am I going to influence people? Every one of us are influencers. And that God would be with us, that our influence, our life example, that we would not distract from Christ, but that we'd lead people toward Him. And then the ring finger, which is really not the finger you wear a ring on, other than your wedding ring, that reminds me of my relationships. So that's when I'd be praying for Catherine, for my kids, and my spouse, my friends, life group, all that. And then the little finger is material blessing. It's all right to pray for that. That we ask for God's favor, that God would prosper us. Why? Because as God prospers me, He's going to keep getting back from me. My basis for giving is going to be a tithe. That's just where I start. That's minimal for me. And then we give above that. We give to the building program. We give to missions. We give to benevolence. Catherine and I we start with the tithe. And then we go on from there. I'm telling you, ever since we started tithing, and I believe with all my heart that we are where we are today because we've been tithers from the start. That's how we began our marriage. We never began to live on all of our income. We said we want to live by the blessing of God on our lives. And so we started off tithing. That is a minimal. We always seek to give above that. So I want us to bow our heads this morning, and I want to pray over you guys as we get ready to start this. And then I want you just to remain seated for just a moment. We've got a couple of announcements to make, and then you're going to be dismissed. So Father, thank you this morning for the word. Thank you, God, for this incredible opportunity we have now to enter into fasting. And we understand this is not a command for you, but it is an offer. That you bid us come to you through fasting. And that when you see that, you know what our heart is. That we put you above our flesh and above everything because we want your hand in our life. That our life will go further, not by eating, but by your hand of favor on us. And so I pray that for my church family. I pray that for Catherine and I. Lord, that we will yearn to see your good hand in our life and on our church family. And so thank you, Father, for these days and everything that's going to happen in the days and weeks ahead. We look forward to it. It's going to be good. You're going to do some great things, and there's going to be rejoicing in our hearts. And we just thank you for that, even right now, in Christ's name. Amen.